Hi, everybody, and welcome. You thought we wouldn't do a You're on an Amy show today, this week, but here we are in a slightly different day. It's Sunday today instead of Saturday, but we are on. And welcome. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Yeah, it looks pretty here. It's Sunday today instead of Saturday. Whoops.
I'm getting a lot of glitches and stuff in the feed.
And you doing, Amy? Just
I'm doing okay. It sounds like your blog talk just disconnected, though.
internet connection is unstable.
Yeah, I think your connection is a little bit unstable. Mine seems to be fine. Probably, maybe you're going to want to ditch the blog talk and not try to reconnect and see if we can do it with Zoom and then upload it to Blog Talk later. What do you think? I'm seeing you okay right now.
Okay, right now, let me just try something. Just try to close that window. Yep, I mean, this is the problem. My computer, I bought a new computer, which is superstar computer. We'll have everything we need in order to never have these problems. And it is stuck in Kentucky, some export thing, some UPS craziness. I'm doing this off of a much weaker computer without, or maybe this is just Alex Jones trying to prevent us from talking about it. Or Facebook.
Talk about a conspiracy theory. So you've got the most rational explanation for it, which is the computer that you're using a backup computer, I think you said, right? So that's the
Yeah, that's
most
right.
rational explanation for what's going on. But let's go ahead and hypothesize something completely arbitrary, that there's some conspiracy against us. Yeah.
Well, we are talking about Alex Jones, so let's go for it, right?
Well,
I,
exactly.
I'm not even sure you exist, Amy. You might be just a robot that I've created. I don't know, a green screen.
I'm
You're
a
just a green
Russian
screen.
bot like everybody else, basically your own. You've got to learn
Okay, so what's going on? Like I was traveling this week.
Yeah.
I was in Colorado. I was in Austin, Texas for a little bit. I gave a talk in Colorado. That was interesting. It's always fun. I speak at the Steamboat Institute in Colorado, and it's a very Tea Party like audience. So the older, they tend to be religious. Not everybody, but the most of them religious. And I think in this group they tended to be Trump fans. So it was interesting for me to give a talk there. It was fun. And the speaker before me was very religious, and everything was about the Judeo-Christian this and the Judeo-Christian that, and atheists aren't this, and atheists can't do that. So I had a comment on what he said. So it was
Okay.
good. But as soon as I finished, it was great because I gave a good talk. And as soon as I finished, a professor from a university rushed up to me and said, "Hey, we're doing a speaker series. Do you want to come and give a talk?" So exactly what I want. Plus, so it was good. So anyway, so I'm traveling. I did a lot of driving. Oh, driving. I started listening to a podcast, a new podcast, not to compete with us. Nobody competes with us, but a podcast by what's his name? Jesus. Malcolm Gladwell. By Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay.
And while, I obviously disagree with a lot of his stuff, he's somewhat of a lefty, but or quite a bit of a lefty probably. But it's fascinating. He is so good at he's first of all, he's got the voice for podcasting. And he's a great storyteller. Beep here, another one is. Anyway, I'm doing all this. I'm listening to podcasts, not listening to the news, not listening to NPR, not reading the newspaper, not didn't really have time to look at Google News where I usually get my news. And then there's this storm going on about Alex Jones. So you're gonna have to fill me in. What exactly happened?
Okay, so what has happened, as far as I can tell
I
right now,
lost.
is we've. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm.
Okay.
I try again. I lost your audio there for a little bit. Let me
Okay,
see.
okay. There's a great article that I put in the program notes, which are over at don'tletitgo.com. Are you there? Okay, so now the video's frozen for me and I can't tell if you can hear me. Oh, I don't know where you are.
Wait.
Okay. I'm looking at the background with Know Your Own.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm back. Sorry, everybody.
Okay.
For the technical difficulties, this is what happens when I come back to Puerto Rico and my computer's not exactly set up the way I want to set it up. So give me just a second here.
Sure.
Up and
yeah, for everybody else, I've got some program notes over at don'tletitgo.com, and in those notes I've got this article from The Verge with and within that article there are links to a lot of other relevant sources to get you up to speed on actually what is going on. Facebook has banned Alex Jones, or at least unpublished, I guess, banned certain pages of Alex Jones and unpublished him for at least 30 days. Because what they're saying is due to hate speech. And okay. Twitter has not. And so one of the questions that people are asking is the one that's in the headline of this Verge story, why Facebook banned Alex Jones and Twitter didn't. As I understand it, Alex Jones, at least some of his videos, maybe his channel, people on YouTube who are, if they're there in the chat, they can verify. At least some of his videos have been taken down, but someone was saying that maybe Alex Jones has been taken off of YouTube entirely. That's what I thought I had heard. And then
that's what I read. Some of the articles you posted say taken off.
YouTube. Yeah. And then someone else is saying remove four videos or something. Four videos is not necessarily anything. I mean, that happens to Dave Rubin all the time.
Well, no. Let's be clear. Yes. No Dave Rubin videos, as far as I know, have been taken.
Oh, out. Demonetized.
A lot of my videos are demonetized. Anytime I talk foreign policy, anything to do with the Middle East, anything to do with Israel, they almost everything, they're very inconsistent, they demonetize.
And then you appeal and then they come back and say it's okay or not?
Sometimes they say it's okay, sometimes they say it's not okay. And wow. I can't figure out what the difference is. So for example, my history of Islamic totalitarianism, two videos are demonetized and two videos are okay. Go figure. I have no
idea. That's interesting. So who knows what it is that you said? And it could just be different people reviewing it too.
Exactly. It could be different people reviewing it, because I do think they give me a manual review where somebody is actually reviewing it. And I think Donald says on Facebook that Alex Jones was demonetized years ago. So they won't, I mean, he doesn't need it because he's making a fortune through his own platform. But
he's got his own apps and everything. Yeah.
Yes, no, he's huge. He's a massive, massive phenomena out there, which I think is, you know, says something about the culture, but we can talk about that. But
there's so many things to talk about in relation to him.
So Facebook is taking him off. YouTube is taking him off. Apple was the first, actually. Apple was the first, and they took down his podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Spotify did as well. Spotify took his podcast off, right?
And now I guess we're waiting to see what Twitter will do.
Right.
And are they all saying the same thing? Are they all using the same justification?
You know, I know only what Facebook's explicit justification is, because I was reading their actual statement, the announcement that they made. But I don't know about the others' justification. One of the big controversies was whether Facebook should have taken down Alex Jones because of the fake news issue versus the hate speech issue, because it turned out that they took him down because of repeated violations of the community standards around hate speech, around conduct. And I can actually read off of the language of their statement. Let's see here.
So hate speech. So there it's explicitly hate speech.
Yeah. So it says that they removed the videos. First, it says they removed four videos on four Facebook pages for violating our hate speech and bullying policies.
Okay.
And this was the Alex Jones channel page, the Alex Jones page, the InfoWars page, and the InfoWars nightly news page. I didn't realize he had all these pages.
Oh, yeah.
I just am not up on my Alex Jones. It says, in addition, one of the admins of the pages, Alex Jones, was placed in a 30-day block for his role in posting violating content to those pages. Since then, more content from the same pages has been reported to us. Upon review, we have taken it down for glorifying violence, which violates our graphic violence policy, and using dehumanizing language to describe people who are transgender, Muslims, and immigrants, which violates our hate speech policies. All four pages have been unpublished for repeated violations of community standards and accumulating too many strikes. And this is what they talk about in the Verge article a little bit. It's like, is it one big strike or is it an accumulation of strikes, which allows them to take it down, I guess, permanently? They have, you know, a whole procedure that they go through. So they decided that they would count it as repeated strikes and then publish this. Supposedly
Zuckerberg himself made the call.
And yeah. Three in the morning or something, you know, well, imagine.
After Apple made their call.
Yeah.
So Apple was the first to act.
Yeah. Says, while much of the discussion around InfoWars has been related to false news, it's a serious issue we're working to address, et cetera. He says, none of the violations that spurred today's removals were related to that. So it wasn't around false news. It was all around hate speech and abusive content. And let me see if I can find.
Well, let me ask you this. Was this something that led up to this? Now, why are they all doing it at the same time? I mean, this guy's been doing basically the same stuff, garbage, I will call it, for a long, long time. Right. So why now? What led up to this? Do we know?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, that given the Zuckerberg, you know, being hauled before Congress and all those hearings and everything, where he's feeling pressure and or he's, you know, it's really hard for me to tell, right? Because one of the questions that people have been asking is how much of this is at the behest of government? And it does seem that there are a lot of people in the government who would be eager to take control of these platforms and regulate the content in terms of hate speech and all this kind of stuff. They would try to achieve what they can achieve. You know, constitutionally, hate speech is supposed to be protected, but if they can somehow figure out how to control social media platforms that reach millions and millions of people, maybe they can regulate hate speech that way, right? So some people are concerned about that. On the other hand, it seems that Mark Zuckerberg has been wanting to do good with his platform, not just in terms of, you know, connecting everybody and letting people do what they're going to do with the connection and, you know, not themselves take any role in making sure that the platform is used for good. Instead, I guess he thinks that he has the ability now to enforce these higher community standards and to make it also a pleasant place to be. That happens to coincide with the pressure that he's getting from the government. And so one question to ask is, how much is it him trying to preempt and say, okay, well, I can, you know, regulate myself. Government doesn't have to come after me. And he's hoping to stave off any government regulation of his platform. Or is it, you know, that he's really just earnestly wanting to do good with his platform and to go out there and do actually what he thinks maybe government should be doing? Some of the statements that he's made in front of Congress make you think that he wants them to do something about hate speech, even though it's been ruled to be constitutionally protected time and again, right?
So let's take a few things here. One, is what Facebook is doing and what these other platforms are doing, is it a violation of the First Amendment?
I don't think so at all, right? So, you know, everybody out, first of all, Facebook is not a government actor. Facebook is not a government actor, right? So the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law, et cetera. It's the amendments of the Constitution. They are limitations on what government can do. Now, there was an Economist article, and I didn't stick it in the program notes, but I did post it out there this week because it had a very provocative headline. It was, you know, are these social media platforms, I can't remember exactly how it was put, but it was referring to them as quasi-government actors. That was the term that they use. Are they quasi-government actors? And, you know, this is a more right-wing conservative type publication, The Economist, and floats out there this headline. Maybe you don't think so much anymore. Yeah.
So I don't think they've ever been particularly right-wing, but anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty centrist. They're pretty middle of the
road. Pretty centrist, yeah. But, you know, quasi-government actors. And so if you deem them to be government, then you can start saying, well, the First Amendment applies to them. And if they unpublish people or take down content, then they're violating the First Amendment because they're censoring people.
So by what grounds would they be a quasi-government actor?
Because, okay, well, there's one, which is an arbitrary type of an assertion, conspiracy a la Alex Jones, is that behind the scenes, even though we aren't aware of it, Zuckerberg is actually acting at the behest of government officials. There's some backroom deals between him and senators or who knows what. I'm not aware of it.
If that were the case, it would be, they wouldn't be taking Alex Jones down. I mean, Alex Jones is a favorite of Donald Trump. So it's hard to believe that the government would be egging them on to take Alex Jones down.
Well, maybe there's some leftist senators behind the scenes or whatever. And he's doing anyway. So there's that kind of hypothesis. Okay. When I think of
leftist senators that have gotten to Apple, to Google, to Facebook, and to all of them. I mean, maybe there you go with the conspiracy theories again, Amy.
No, but I'm saying that's a conspiracy theory you could put out there, right? And I put actually a link to Leonard's book on objectivism, the philosophy of Ayn Rand, and he has a whole section in there for people who want to get technical about this stuff. It's the arbitrary, talking about the arbitrary. The arbitrary is neither true nor false. Arbitrary means something for which there is no evidence. I have no evidence that there's any sort of backroom deals. Now, what we do know is that either through kind of innocent earnestness or who knows what, you know, appeasement, motivations of appeasement, that the government has been able to get some hooks into these relatively unregulated tech companies. So, for example, Apple has had its problems with antitrust, right? You've seen that in a number of occasions. And I know of that Facebook has that consent decree that it made with the FTC some years ago, having to do with supposedly a privacy violation. They were alleged to have been fraudulent in describing what sort of privacy protection they were giving to users. And so the FTC said, hey, enter into this consent decree with us and basically we'll make the problem go away for you. But in exchange, if you read that decree, and I was talking about it a lot at the time on my own show, if you read that decree, it gives the FTC control over Facebook's privacy policy for like 10 or actually 20 years it was. And that's only on good behavior. So who knows what Cambridge Analytica set them back, right? And that was one of the things that was mentioned when the congressman, you know, hauled Zuckerberg before them. Some of them were talking about, oh, you've clearly violated the consent decree with the Cambridge Analytica and the blah, blah, blah. So even though this is a relatively unregulated sector of the economy, and it's one in which we would still attribute the private property label to these platforms, and therefore we would say that whatever these private actors do, they're not in violation of the First Amendment. They cannot, you know, perform acts that constitute censorship. We would say that about private actors. Even though we think that, there is, you know, there are some ways in which government is starting to exert its control over these entities. And so my question for you is, you know, at what point do we say these platforms are acting because they're doing it at the behest of government, or maybe, you know, they're really motivated to appease government so badly that it's de facto, even if it's not real?
So first of all, it has to be real. It can be de facto. So the fact that a particular, and it depends what you mean by government, who in the government, are they trying to appease a particular political movement? Are they all leftists? Do they want to appease Democrats? Or is there somebody in the government who is pointing a gun at them, whether he's pointing it directly at them or just waving it around at them, that they're trying to appease? And again, I think if they were trying to appease the FCC, this wouldn't be the act that they were taking on. Quite the contrary, both the left and the right now want to regulate these companies. And this just, I think, unfortunately, this plays into that, whether this is the right action or not. It plays right into the desire of left and right to regulate these companies. But I think we have to be very, very clear. This is not censorship. This is not the government. Censorship only applies to government action. Alex Jones, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Apple, LinkedIn, whoever, are not government entities.
Right.
And I also, so it's unequivocally not censorship. Now, if there was evidence that it, as part of a consent decree or as part of something, they were influencing what was going on, then that would be very, very worrisome. And yes, that would be just like, imagine if the New York Times was actually being guided by or prohibited from publishing certain things by the president of the United States. You know, that would be really, really bad. So that would be a violation of free speech. But you need evidence for that. You can't just assert it. And I mean, people are saying, oh, the fact that they all are doing it, it means it's a conspiracy. This is exactly the kind of nonsense that creates conspiracy theories. No, you need evidence to suggest that it's the government. There's no evidence to suggest anybody in the government is responsible for this. And the fact that they all did it together just means that to a large extent, they're second-handed, or to a large extent, they follow the leader. Apple did it. Zuckerberg then had to quickly make a decision because everybody's going to say, look, Apple did it. What are you going to do? And he made a decision. Of course, everybody else just followed the decision that the leaders make. It happens all the time. And indeed, Twitter is not doing it. And they're coming out in a lot of heat. And I expect that Twitter in the next couple of days is going to ban it. Well, but look, censorship, because people here online arguing this point, censorship is very, very clearly only an action of government. Only an action of government. Private organizations have every right to decide who speaks on their platform, who doesn't speak on their platform. I get it. I have a right to invite whoever I want on the show or not. Now, both left and right want to declare these platforms now common carriers, although even common carriers, in my view, have the freedom to exclude whoever they want to exclude. AT&T should decide, I don't like you.
That's the thing. There's this whole invalid line of cases. And it's really funny because it goes back to, you know, when I was first getting involved in objectivism, I actually entered two different essay contests. The first one was the very first year of the Ayn Rand Institute essay contest on the Fountainhead. I entered it, wrote a horrible essay, didn't even make it as a finalist. It was terrible. There was a second contest for the Association for Objective Law, and I actually ended up winning that contest. And it was about this line of cases. Logan Valley Shopping Center is some case, I think from the 60s or something. It's been so long since I've looked at this, so excuse me if I don't get the references right. But the premise that our government has been operating on for a long time is that if you open up your private property, like a shopping mall or something, yep, to some speakers, then you therefore have to basically open it up to everybody equally. You cannot discriminate based on content. You can be, you know, this common carrier. And, you know, you can do, I guess, some time, place, manner or whatever restrictions that are reasonable or what, but, you know, if you allow somebody to, you know, pass out their pamphlets and then you don't let somebody else pass out their pamphlets in a similarly peaceful way or whatever, you'll be in trouble according to this line of cases.
No, it's
that's what they're trying to apply to the social media platforms, but it's an invalid line of cases.
It's a completely invalid. It's a completely statist idea that the state somehow can control what you do with your property just because you open it up to multiple uses. You still get to decide. You still get to decide who gets to come on your property or should have the ability to decide and who gets to speak on your property. So no, there's no free speech argument about here. Facebook can do whatever the hell they want. All of them can conspire from my perspective, even if it is a conspiracy, all of them can conspire together and ban it. I'm against antitrust law. So I'm against the idea that collusion is bad. Although right. I don't know that right. How you would apply antitrust laws to colluding to ban somebody. Radio stations should be able to carry whoever they want and any point of view that they want. So yeah, so I'm an absolutist when it comes to free speech. That is, you get to say whatever you want on your property, and Zuckerberg can do, I don't want conservatives on my property. That's fine. He can say, I don't want XYZ, I don't want you on my property. That's his property. He gets to make those choices. So first, there's no issue of censorship here at all. And the fact that these are so-called common carriers, even if you define them as such, doesn't change anything. As you said, that would just be appealing to bad anti-individual rights law, anti-property rights law, that has been instituted. And other people say, well, but they're monopolies. Well, I don't care, even if they are monopolies, and it's ridiculous to assume that they're monopolies. But even if they are monopolies, you know, we're against antitrust. I'm against
it. Well, and they're not government protected monopolies. They're not government protected. So suppose right now Facebook is the only platform of its kind. It's got the huge market share, whatever it is. Start a competing one. There are enough people who are running around disgruntled right now that you could, you know, go. I think Minds.com is a competitor that's trying to start up. I forget there's other ones, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because the most interaction on any of anybody on Facebook is for Fox. Fox News is the biggest page on Facebook in terms of interaction.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Jason says, what if those colluding are evil? You have a right to be evil. You have a right to be immoral. So
as long as you're not violating rights of anybody else,
as long as you're not violating rights, the government has no say. Now we're going to get to whether we think what Facebook did is right or not. That's a different question.
Well, and plus I did my own little test this week out there on social media.
Right. Amy did a test and we can look at the test as well. Mm-hmm. So, we can talk about that, but that's a different question. It's a completely different question about whether they should do it. And on what they should do it. Of course, part of the answer to whether they should do it is, I don't know. I mean, they're trying to maximize shareholder wealth. They're trying to maximize their profits. If banning Alex Jones and banning Amy and Yaron maximizes their profits, you know, I have nothing against them doing it.
I mean, from everything that I see of Zuckerberg, I think he earnestly wants to create a community that reflects his values. Yep. And of course, reflects his values doesn't mean that everything that's on the platform he approves of and agrees with, but in the sense of, you know, the type of platform that he wants to create to connect people in the world, he envisions it to have some sort of what he calls community standards. And, you know, we could unpack community standards, right? What does community standards mean? Basically, you are being asked, if you're going to use Facebook, to live up to somebody else's standards of what should be on that platform. And you can decide whether you agree with those standards or you don't agree with those standards. Even if you don't agree with those standards, are you getting enough value from Facebook that you think you should go ahead and be there and abide by the standards? But those are the standards that he is putting out there. I think earnestly because he wants to create a better quality product, and I doubt it's fully tied to revenue.
Well, and a better quality. Well, I mean, it's always tied to revenue, but
a better quality
product is what he thinks is a better quality product.
Yeah,
it's based on Zuckerberg's values, and if you don't like Zuckerberg's values, and if you don't like the quality product he's putting out there, then you have every opportunity and ability and right to unsubscribe. Just get off of Facebook, you know, boycott him, you know, create your own platform, use somebody else's platform, find somebody who values you like. But
it'd be a lot less expensive. It would be a lot less expensive for him if he created a platform where you could pretty much publish anything unless it was an incitement to violence or otherwise broke a law. Maybe, you know, maybe he's got to do something to prevent Russian government agents from interfering with our elections or something. I don't know. We could talk about the legal aspects of that.
If Russians want to intervene in elections, why do we care? If it's just propaganda, right?
Propaganda is
speech. Propaganda is just stuff. As long as they're not trying to literally manipulate the vote count, as long as they're not trying to, you know, overthrow the government, then, you know, anybody has a right to put out false stories. They don't have a right to lie about it, to pretend that it's correct stories. But, you know, Alex Jones puts out, you know, nonsense constantly. We don't say he's intervening in the U.S. elections. You know, I don't see why Russians should not be allowed to buy advertising and to promote particular stories and to tweet and so on.
Anyway. Well, or maybe that would be something that our government would address and not put it on the platform. Is that the idea?
Why even the government would address it? Again, I mean, Zuckerberg could address it because Zuckerberg is in a position to decide what he wants in his platform or what he doesn't want in his platform. It's up to him.
I mean, my question is, what would you do? You know, because again, if you have this platform and you are aware of, you know, within the reasonable course of your business, you are made aware of someone using it for incitement to violence, I assume that the law properly requires you to take that down. Yes. Similarly, for copyright violations, if you become aware that your platform is being used to violate people's copyrights, then you should take it down. How much work you have to do to make yourself aware of all this stuff is one question, but, you know, assume it's relatively easy for you to be aware of this stuff most of the time. Okay, take that stuff down. But beyond that, this idea that Facebook has to be a fact checker or has to be an arbiter of hateful or abusive speech, racist speech, and things like that, how much should they take it upon themselves? I mean, I guess it's just an individual decision based on the tastes of the property owner. What do you think?
I think they should take some of that on because I think it, you know, you do want, particularly, you want to have some standards, right? If I were running Facebook, I wouldn't treat it as a free speech thing. I wouldn't have Islamists on there. I wouldn't have Nazis on there. Where you actually define that spectrum, I don't know. I mean, I would rather live in a environment in which I don't have to encounter Alex Jones. I mean, I don't want to hear his nutty, ridiculous, insane conspiracy theories. I would rather not be exposed to that. I would rather other people not be exposed to that. So in my platform, I would never post Alex Jones stuff, right? I would not have Alex Jones. I would never link to Alex Jones. I would never mention Alex Jones if I can avoid it. If he didn't make the news, I wouldn't. And the same thing with Russian bots or whatever. I would never retweet. I would never post. I mean, that's your responsibility. The whole Sandy Hook conspiracy thing, the 9/11 conspiracy stuff that Alex Jones, I mean, I find that offensive, disgusting, beneath contemptible. I've seen a number of Alex Jones videos. I'm ashamed to admit that I've seen some of them, but where he has these ridiculous arguments about conspiracies that are going to, you know, kill the president or, you know, stuff the president is doing, or that the world is coming to an end tomorrow because the economy is going to crash. That's under Obama. Now the economy is going to do fantastically well under Trump. I mean, it's entertainment, I guess. If you want to view it as entertainment, that is fine. But if I were doing a platform, I wouldn't list it under news sources. I mean, even the New York Times calls him a news organization. I would never call him a news organization. He's an entertainment organization. His function is entertainment.
Well, so here, that's one of the things, right? That's one of the things that came up. And for people who want to defend Alex Jones, I'm going to ask you to look at a couple different articles that have come out of the litigation that he's going through, right? Because, you know, on the one hand, he goes out there and represents himself as somebody who is telling you the truth that everybody else is hiding from you. You know, everybody else is saying that Sandy Hook was a real thing that happened from a school shooter, but he's telling you the supposed truth, which is that it was a government setup in order to make a reason for the government to take away your guns and everything else. So there's a real defamation lawsuit happening in Texas, and he has an attorney who's there, and the attorney is doing, even within the confines of that lawsuit, two things that contradict each other. One of them is the lawyer is seeking to make addresses of the parents of the Sandy Hook victims public.
Yep.
Okay. And part of this, right, is because supposedly they are defending themselves against charges of defamation. Alex Jones says that those victims weren't real, that it was all just a hoax. And so he's trying to defend himself supposedly by having those parents state exactly who they are, where they live and things like that, like the birth dates of the victims and their addresses and things like that. So that's on the one hand. So he's saying what he said on his show, that this was just a setup, a hoax, is true. Then the attorney is arguing in the alternative that no reasonable person would believe what he says.
Yes.
which completely contradicts the other.
Well, they're trying every possible angle to get him off. So my view is, I don't know whether they should have banned Alex Jones or not. I don't think they're evil for banning Alex Jones at all. I think, as I said, I think Alex Jones is despicable. And, I don't think I'm not sure it's the right thing to do, given, given Facebook's attempt to be objective, because I'm not sure they ban that kind of nuttiness on the left if it pops up, because I don't think there's enough social pressure on them to ban the nuttiness on the left. So if Antifa has a site, I don't know if they do. So I haven't really researched kind of the craziness on the left, but if there's something crazy on the left, do they treat it the same way they treat a craziness on this craziness on the so-called right? So, I have no strong opinion about this. I know some of the people on the chat, many of them, have a very strong opinion. A lot of, surprisingly, we have some Alex Jones fans among our listeners today, or maybe not so surprising. But
listen to this. This is Alex Jones' defense, and this is from the article from Texas Monthly. So this is a report on what is actually going on in the courtroom in this Travis County legal proceeding for defamation. Again, the charge is that Alex Jones has defamed the parents of Sandy Hook victims by repeatedly on his show saying that this was a phony setup hoax, perpetrated by the government in order to take our guns away. Okay, so here's from the article. It says his defense argues that while Jones says that these two parents fake the interview and provides evidence for that claim that draws upon Jones's own authority with video production, Jones didn't intend to speak factually. And in fact, no reasonable person would expect that Jones spoke factually on his show. And what they're referring to is apparently he said that an interview with these two parents on CNN was phony because he saw some evidence that I guess Anderson Cooper was the guy who interviewed and his nose disappeared when he turned his head a certain way. And that shows that there was a green screen and the blah, blah, blah. And they have, at the beginning of the show, you and I were talking about what's the reasonable explanation for the glitches in the show. Yeah. They have a perfectly reasonable explanation for what people saw with this Cooper clip. And it was that they were editing and compressing or something. And that's what happens. It's not some phony green screen. So Jones's assertions are basically arbitrary, but here's a quotation from the motion to dismiss from Jones's attorney. This is Jones's attorney I'm quoting from right now. It says, quote, "There can simply be no statement of fact when Mr. Jones views a video of Anderson Cooper and provides his commentary and opinion with regard to the possibilities as to why Mr. Cooper's nose disappeared on the video, all the while directing the viewer's attention to the very video about which he opined. Quote, no reasonable reader or listener would interpret Mr. Jones's statements regarding the possibility of a blue screen being used as a verifiably false statement of fact. And even if it is verifiable as false, the entire context in which it was made discloses that the statements are mere opinions, quote, masquerading as fact, end quote. So he's just saying basically, you shouldn't believe me at all, even though I'm sitting here in a context where I'm purporting to provide evidence for my opinions. It's there's no statement of fact at all, is what he's saying.
But that's why he should be categorized as entertainment. But and he should stop presenting himself as a news. But again, the issue here is, it's not censorship. It's not a violation of the First Amendment. It's not a violation of free speech. And then it's within Facebook's rights. And then you have to make a decision. Do you want to stay with Facebook or not? And you have to make a decision. If it was your platform, would you allow the nuts, the real nuts, like Alex Jones on the left and on the right, on both sides of the political spectrum and any other political spectrum, would you allow them equal access to your platform as everybody else? And where do you draw the line? And I don't think any of those is easy to decide. I don't think committing where those lines should be is easy. Clearly, there's some stuff you don't want. Clearly, there's I mean, it's the same kind of thing. I mean, you don't want violence on your platform. You don't want sex on your platform, let's say. Then where's the line? When does violence become so violent that you don't allow it? When does sex become so explicit you don't allow it? And where does some views on your platform, not by the government, if this was the government doing, I would be out there in the barricades, oh my God, defending Alexis Jones' right to say what he wants to say, because I'll defend anybody's, including a commies or a nutcase entertainer like Alex Jones. But this is not the government. This is Facebook. So they have to define those lines, and Zuckerberg gets to define them. And maybe the solution is long-term, you know, that there are lots of different types of Facebook, or that, you know, and we all splinter into the social media that most adheres to our views that we already have. And we get even a more fragmented society than we do today. Now, somebody in the super chat speculated that this is, you know, trying to help Donald Trump in the coming election. I doubt that very much, that this is some kind of concerted effect to go after Jones because he's a Donald Trump supporter and all these platforms are doing it in order to do that. Again, I see no evidence that that is the case.
So the super chat
is the number one site. The algorithms could easily suppress Fox News, but Fox News is the number one most engagement site on Facebook. And you know that Fox News is pro-Trump. So if you wanted to cripple Trump, Fox News, actually what this has done, unfortunately, is it's going to make Alex Jones into a martyr. It's going to increase viewership of Alex Jones videos. It's going to make him into this right-wing thing. And, but no, I mean, if YouTube doesn't want Alex Jones on their platform, fine. And is it moral or immoral? It depends why they did it. And if it turns out that they believe that this is inconsistent with the kind of platform they want to create, or with their revenue model and how they expect, then it's completely moral. The only reason it would be immoral is they pretend to be neutral and they're lying about it, right? So they're not telling us their true bias. Then it would be immoral. And there's a sense in which all these platforms are acting immorally, because there's a sense in which they're all biased. They're not really telling us, just like NPR's biased. They're not telling us. CNN's biased. They're not telling us. New York Times is biased. They're not telling us. But we already know. So live with it. All these platforms are somewhat biased. They've not deplatformed me on any of these. They demonetized some of my videos, but not others. It's very inconsistent. It's right. I don't take it personally. I don't think it's against me or my particular views. I mean, some of my views. But so what? I mean, it's their platform. Let them do what they want with it.
Here is one concern, right? So again, I agree 100% that this is not censorship.
Yep.
But there is a term that I coined when I was doing my show, and it's a culture of censorship. Now, given the wide reach of Facebook, and then if you talk about, you know, again, I think all the different tech companies have a perfect right to talk to each other or to follow each other's lead with respect to banning Alex Jones or anything else, right? They have the right to do this. But given that if you add up, you know, YouTube and Apple and Spotify and Facebook, and maybe Twitter's going to follow suit as well, if all of those ban Alex Jones, that pretty much cuts a lot of his opportunity to reach new people, you know, off a little bit, right? You know, there's a lot of his audience that's gone. Do you contribute to what could be called a culture of censorship, where people are getting the idea that it's good to shut down opinions?
I would never use that word. Censorship is what the government does, and I don't like the idea of a culture of censorship.
Okay.
So there's silencing that's going on. But if the silencing is not involving coercive force, then no. I worry that all of these platforms, if it's true, that all of these platforms have the same political stance, that all of them come at politics from the same perspective. That worries me. And I think there's a reason for it. I think it's the Republican Party's fault more than anything else. But I worry that they all have the same intellectual perspective, but that's true of the universities. Like 90% of all professors at universities have the same perspective. And the solution to that is not to hire a bunch of Bible thumping conservatives or a bunch of conspiracy theory nuts to balance it out. The solution is to hire high quality intellectuals and academics and in this case, media sources that have a different perspective, that have a better perspective, that have a more rational perspective, but not, you don't counterbalance irrationality on one side with irrationality on the other side. I have no sympathy for Alex Jones. I have no problem with the decision, their decision to take him down. If they were taking down Jordan Peterson, then I'd have a problem with it. If they were taking down Sam Harris, I would have a problem with it. If they were taking down Fox News, I would have a problem with it. But Alex Jones is a nut. Alex Jones is on the fringe. He's positioned himself on the fringe. He's purposefully on the fringe. He enjoys being on the fringe. He provokes in order to be on the fringe. Part of the consequences of being at the fringe is you piss people off. And when people are pissed off and want to create a particular type of platform, a particular type of environment, then they're going to kick you out of that. But you've asked for it. And indeed, I believe Alex Jones is probably enjoying the notoriety he got right now. So, you know, if they kick the, you know, people I hate, like if they kick Donald Trump off of Twitter, or if they kicked... then I would say, you know, that's stupid. Stupid business practices. It's really bad. Still not censorship. They still have a right to do it. But it worries me. The fact that they're kicking Alex Jones out, who is somebody who is hateful, who is somebody who spouts the most irrational, ridiculous things. Now, I hope that they're doing the same thing with left crazies as well. I doubt it, but I hope that's what they're doing. And if they're not doing it, then that's wrong. Then that's bad.
Well, and I think part of the reason is if they're not doing it with left crazies, we need to, those of us who aren't on the left, report the left crazies more, because I get this sense that leftists on these social media platforms are a lot more active in reporting than people on the right. So that is one thing that we could do if we wanted to do our part and really put these community standards to the test, is when you see this leftist crazy stuff, report, 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 and let Facebook.
I mean, let's put the same kind of pressure on them that the left puts pressure on to get its way. So, you know, but the fact is, and this is a fact that you have to take into account when you deal with these people. When I go on CNN or if I go to any news source, I know that they're going to be hostile. I know that they, I know that they are that they have a bias. When I read the New York Times, I know they have a bias. I take all that into account and I decide whether to deal with them or not. If you do not want to deal with Facebook because you think this is fine, go do it. I'm going to stay on Facebook because I don't consider Alex Jones a value that I would give up the value that is Facebook for Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a disvalue. He's an anti-value. I think he's destructive. Alex Jones is destructive to the society in which we live. I think he's a negative force. I think he's an evil force in the society in which we live. So I don't want, now I think a lot of people are evil forces in the society in which we live. One down, a million to go. But I'm not going to leave Facebook because it's doing it. Now, I want to get to the experiment you ran because I think that's more interesting.
Okay. Well, let me say one more thing about Jones because I want to flesh out a little bit as to why I think he's a destructive force. If the premise is that we want to have intelligent discussion, that we want to connect with other people around discussions of important and real issues, Alex Jones contributes nil to that. He puts out things by his attorney's own admission in a court of law in Texas. He puts out things that are completely arbitrary. He is saying that he did not intend, even though he made it look like he was presenting evidence that this was a phony interview, that he actually didn't intend for people to be taking him as presenting evidence for that hypothesis at all, by his own admission. And he's done this many times. You've said it. I haven't watched a lot of his videos, but a lot of people have said he's repeatedly put things out there for which there is no evidence. And he does it in such a way as to play on people's fears. And I think that one of the biggest problems we have in this world right now, even Kanye West agrees with me, if you go out there on Twitter, that people should be more motivated by love, by positive values, by going after the positive, pursuing a great life, than they should be by being so afraid of the boogeyman all the time. And of course, the biggest boogeyman he likes to say is that the media and the government are trying to deceive you and that they're really out to get you all of the time. And, you know, we don't have evidence for this. He's putting a lot of, you know, arbitrary conspiracy theories out there. So if you want to look at what value does he provide, supposedly he provides entertainment. Someone had on Facebook was saying, oh, I find listening to him soothing or something, you know, he could be easy to.
But then check your premises if you find him soothing, but because I don't accept that, you know, it's entertainment, but it's not entertaining. It's disgusting. So I wouldn't listen to a Alex Jones video if you paid me unless I had to for work, which is what we're doing now. And I'd rather not, you know, and I don't see any value in him. And the fact that we live in a culture that is so that where he's making gazillions of dollars off of these videos tells me that we live in an irrational conspiracy theory laden culture. And Ayn Rand talked about conspiracy theories and how they were an indication of unthinking, of irrationality, of decay. And I think what we have today is a decaying culture, a culture that is looking for explanations outside of where they really are, which is in the realm of ideas. Ideas explain what is going on in the world right now. Now, again, Alex Jones has every right to speak. He can build his own platform. He can show videos on his own thing. He can use whatever technology he can purchase to do whatever he wants. But he has no right to use other people's platforms if those people don't want him. And I see no reason why people would want him. There's no value he is adding. So I see no reason. Now, again, if you went after the you know, Ben Shapiro, who I disagree with on a lot of things, or if you went after the, you know, a lot of publications that I think are trying at least to present something, I disagree with them, but they're not explicitly nutty. They're not explicitly irrational. They're not as their mode of operations irrational. Then I would be more outraged, but I can't be outraged about Alex Jones. And again, if you think Facebook is crazy, if you think Facebook is evil, if you think this is one big Silicon Valley conspiracy, then don't deal with Silicon Valley.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, the community standards is their standards. It's Facebook's model for the platform that they have. And you can read them and you can decide yes or no. Now, I did a little test this week. Oh, I was going to say one more thing before I go on to my test. There is a link in the program notes. Again, don'tletitgo.com. There's a link to a discussion between the Ayn Rand Institute. By the way, I don't work for the Ayn Rand Institute. Everybody always thinks I work for the, I don't work for them, but I do like a lot of the content. So I will link to it. Ben Baer, Ankar Gatte had a chat on Ayn Rand's view of conspiracy theories this week, and they did it in anticipation of an article that Ben Baer has coming out on this. So I'm eager to hear what he has to say on this phenomenon and the appeal of it. But obviously the popularity of Alex Jones has to do with people being drawn in by these conspiracy theories. And it appeals to, you know, I think some of the worst elements that are motivating people out there, fear of these big dangers that come from immigrants and other groups and things
We've
like
that. We've talked a lot about fear is becoming a dominated force in American culture. It's anti-American, it's anti the American sense of life. And this is one of my biggest complaints about Donald Trump is that he feeds it and he plays off of it. And indeed, and from that, he takes from the book of every authoritarian out there who's ever tried to sway the masses. Fear is an incredibly powerful motivator. And Alex Jones is part of that fear machine out there. Conspiracy theories are part of that. And it's incredibly destructive. And again, he has a right to do it, but he doesn't have a right to use whatever platform.
Well, and it's unclear whether he has a right to do some of what he's doing, right? Because there is a defamation suit against him right now. Yeah.
The courts will deal with that. I don't want to get into the middle of that say what it's, because defamation is a complicated issue.
Yes.
And complicated. It's hard, by the way, to prove defamation in a court of law. The burden is always on towards free speech. So it's hard to prove defamation. So I'll leave that to the courts to decide. If he defamed, they will find him. So somebody's, let's see, Action Jackson has got a super chat question. If YouTube, Facebook, and Apple are receiving money immunity to taxes, breaking laws because of collusion with government entities, do you still consider these companies private companies? Yes, because, I get breaks from taxes. Depending on every profession, we're all regulated. We all pay taxes. We're all to some extent controlled. Do you have private property? So is the fact that you pay is the fact that you pay property tax diminish the fact that the property is yours. Now, in the eyes of government, yeah, they think it's their property unless you pay them rent. But in my eyes, it's my property. So yeah, Facebook, YouTube, Apple, all these companies have to, they're regulated, they're controlled. What are you supposed to do? And do they really get immunity from taxes? They pay huge amounts from taxes.
Well, and then we want to know, is the immunity tied to this explicitly with certain strings and things like that?
Yeah, if the government said, but you'd have to have proof of this. If the government said, we're going to raise your taxes unless you do X, Y, and Z, then you could criticize X, Y, and Z, and then you could talk about free speech. But there is no evidence to suggest that the government is conditioning any of its so-called favors or any of its tax policies on this particular behavior of the entities. But look, we live in a mixed economy. You can't, because you live in a mixed economy, say private property is out. We can do whatever we want with the property. We get to decide what free speech now counts. We did decide what platforms, and we're going to let everybody do whatever they want, right? The company ceases to be private property when it's taken over by the government, when the government actually owns 51% of its shares, owns in quotes. A bank's private property. Is a bank public property? Should you be allowed to go into a bank and open the vault and say, hey, this is just some of my money I'm taking back? Or should banks.
That's a really good example. That's a really good example, right? Because I think we would still say banks are private property, and it's one of the most heavily regulated industries there is.
No, they're completely controlled by government. There's not a thing a bank does that is not controlled by the government. But you still, if we're going to live in a civilized society, if we're going to still live in a society of the rule of law, then you cannot assume that every corporate. So let's ask you this: if Google fires somebody for whatever reason they want, right? Is that then a use of force by a government entity, right? Do they fall under, or even unemployment law? Would you apply the same employment law that the government has different employment law than private sector? Because would you apply it to them? I mean, once you open that up, it could be that we're there. It could be that things are so far gone that there is no such thing as private property in America today. There are no private companies, but you'd know if it was that far gone, right? That was communism and that was socialism. We don't live under socialism. We don't live under capitalism. And you do not have the right, to go into private companies and enforce your specific political agenda. And once you do that, what about their political agenda? What about if you have a right to decide who gets on your platform and who gets off your platform, if you don't have that right, then they can force anybody on your platform that they want. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And let me give people a little bit of the test that I did this week that should, I hope, maybe assuage their concerns about whether Facebook is completely under the control of leftists or not. Okay. I became aware of a page that had been taken down, unpublished. It's an Italian language page, and it's essentially the individualist in Italian, but it's a Facebook page of libertarians, and it's, I think, very popular. I think I looked at it. Let me take a look at it real quick here. I think it's got 40,000 some odd likes to the page. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, no, 14. Sorry. So about 14,000 some odd likes. So it's a fairly popular page in Italy. And I gather that they've been putting out provocative memes saying that Nazism and communism are not opposites at all, as people always try to portray them. And that the only real alternative to that is individualism, capitalism, right? Yep. So they are not alternatives to each other. They're essentially the same thing, right. Yep. Nazism and communism. And one of the photos that I saw on the post that was talking about the fact that the page had been taken down, there was a guy out, doing a public demonstration, and he was holding a sign, and the sign had what I have on my meme that I made, which is you've got the hammer and sickle, an equal sign, and then the swastika, the Nazi swastika, not the Hindu swastika, the Nazi one, right? So he puts this post up and he talks about how this page was taken down. And then it was funny. The post actually disappeared from my wall because I had shared this post and then it was gone. And I thought, oh God, Facebook even took that down. This is, it turns out that Facebook did not take down that post talking about the page being taken down. That guy had actually just changed the viewership of the post from public to friends only. So I found that out later.
That happened on my website.
Well, I think, okay, then I made a post, right? So I made a post. I decided, okay, I'm going to go out there.
Right. And you used the same image.
Well, I used a similar image. So I have bad Photoshop skills, but I Photoshopped this image that you see on my blog and that you've seen around social media. I'm looking at it now. I was like, oh, I could really do a better job with this. But, you know, I got my hammer and sickle. I got my swastika. I put the equal sign. And then I have this quotation from Ayn Rand. And it says, and I make sure that, because this is, I'm including socialism in this too, because I'm going to really provoke, right? Fascism, Nazism, communism, and socialism are only superficial variations of the same monstrous theme, collectivism, end quote. So that's the quote from Ayn Rand. And I put this on this and I say, okay, I've heard that a page that was spreading this sort of theme was taken down. Oh, you've got it for her. Okay. That's great. I thought we had a big glitch. We're being censored that it shows up. Okay. So there it is. So I make this and I go ahead and send it out there and I give the explanation that I heard that a page with a related message had been removed. And the reason that I heard it had been removed was because there were a number of communists in Italy who got upset and reported the page and I guess said it was hate speech and everything else. So I said, okay, I'm doing my part. Okay. And I went ahead and I sent it out there and I sent it out there on my personal page and on my show page and it has had a ton of shares relative to anything I get, right?
Taken down by any of the social media platforms as far as we can tell.
No, right? Nobody has taken this down and it's got the Nazi swastika on it, you know, so it's very provocative. And then I'm saying even socialism is a superficial variation of the same theme that underlies Nazism. So I'm saying these are all equivalent. Trying as best I can. And it hasn't been taken down. What I came to learn later is that on the page, you know, they put out memes like this regularly that on the page, it's funny. I'm seeing something funny on my screen now with you. I don't know why it's doing this, but are they still seeing the normal split screen out there? I don't know what they're seeing.
I'm seeing the normal split screen. So that's
okay. Now I'm seeing something else funny, which is interesting. Maybe I'm seeing your screen still. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's just a little disconcerting when you see the same thing all the time and you've accommodated yourself to that. Okay. Acclimated. Sorry. That's the word. So on this, meme, you know, I've equated all these things. And then I found out that later when the page had been putting out memes of this type, saying that those two aren't opposites, that the only real alternative is freedom, rationality, individualism, capitalism, that that's the only real alternative, that it stirred discussion, that the communists would come and start, you know, trolling the page. And I heard that somebody who maybe was in charge of the page maybe lost their cool a little bit. And so that there was a discussion that maybe was the prompting of taking the page down temporarily. However, okay, so not only did my meme not get taken down, my meme has not been taken down, even though it's out there equating socialism to communism, Nazism, fascism, right? It's saying that they're all the same. It hasn't been taken down. Also, the page has been restored. So even though a bunch of communists had reported that Italian page, a Facebook human obviously reviewed the case and restored the page. I don't know if the page is that, you know, it's a libertarian page. It's not.
I mean, there seems to be some indication that that there is bias in all these platforms on the left, a leftwards bias. So they're much more likely to put somebody to take a page off or to question somebody or to demonetize or whatever that happens to be, if you're on the right than if you're on the left. So that bias exists, but I haven't seen any evidence that is a massive problem or that these things cannot get overturned.
Well, and again, Yaron, I have the question. I have the question, which is, given the mechanisms that they have in which they heavily depend on user reports, isn't it the case that
the left is more active?
Yeah, the left has always been more active in demonstrations on the streets too. For example,
I don't think it's just that. I think it's also that there's a bias among the people. I mean, I'm not surprised that there's a bias. I mean, there's a bias at the New York Times. There's a bias at the Washington Post and NPR, CNN. Not just because their listeners are biased, but because that's who they hire. They hire people from universities who are trained. And they're trained by leftists, and therefore they're leftists. So, but you know they're biased, so you adjust. So I don't see any evidence that there's a concerted effort to exclude conservative, libertarian, free market voices from these platforms. I just think that they tend to exclude people on the fringe on the right more than they tend to exclude people on the fringe on the left. And I wish they had a more even-handed hand. I think there would be better platforms if they did. But they don't. It's the reality. And you, each one of you needs to decide if you're going to boycott Facebook now or not. And I'm not. So I don't think they've done anything.
No, I mean, given my test, I wouldn't.
Now, Action Jackson asks, should private social media companies be able to kick someone off of their platform because of the color of their skin? So first, my view is yes, they should be. If they did, I would not use them. I would not use them. That is not the same at all from kicking off somebody like Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a provocateur, and you get to decide as the owner of the platform whether you want provocateurs. And if you're trying to create a friendly, family-friendly, teenage-friendly, whatever you want kind of community, maybe Alex Jones doesn't belong on it. So I have no problem. I wouldn't compare the two. But yeah, a platform has the right, just like a store has the right, just like a restaurant has the right, to not serve Jews. And I would fight for that right. I would fight for that right of those people to be anti-Semitic. But that doesn't change the fact that that is so irrational that I would never use that platform again. Whereas this, I don't know if it's completely rational, because again, I don't know that they're doing it. But it doesn't bother me, the fact that Alex Jones does not have cannot post on Facebook. Alex Jones is making more money because of it being kicked off Facebook than anything else. Okay, we got one other of these super chat questions. I believe that if the Justice Department prosecutes companies that allow customers, employees to speak against government policies like diversity, that is government censorship. Okay, let me read that again. Mm-hmm. If the Justice Department prosecutes companies that allow customers or employees to speak, so they prosecute them because the company allows them to speak?
Yeah, I mean, what is the prosecution due to? Because I don't see a causal relation being
alleged. So if this happened, if a company said, you can talk against diversity here, and then the Justice Department prosecuted the company for people talking in diversity, then it's a violation of free speech. But look, I think there's a lot of government censorship going on. Don't take me wrong, right? I think there's a lot of government censorship going on, and I think we should fight government censorship. I think a lot of these laws about diversity constitute censorship, and a lot of these laws about, I think there are a lot of laws in financial markets. For example, if I meet with a CEO of a bank, by law, he is not allowed to tell me anything interesting, right? I'm an investor. Because that's so-called insider trading or whatever. That's a violation of put aside his fiduciary duty to shareholders. We can discuss, that's a separate issue. But the government has no job in telling a CEO of a company what he can and cannot disclose to shareholders, how he discloses it, what form it. The fact that we have certain accounting rules that cannot be other accounting rules is a violation. So there's lots of places in which the government is forcing you to speak in particular ways. Advertising, restrictions on advertising. There are massive restrictions on advertising. Political funding, campaign laws. Mm-hmm. Political campaign laws, even post Citizens United.
Yeah.
There's a huge amount of constraints in that censorship. So look, there is a huge amount of censorship in the world, but you don't, because there's censorship in these areas, say now everything a private company does constitutes censorship. That is, again, that is not logical. It's not rational. And it's giving up. It basically says there is no, we're in an authoritarian dictatorship. There is no private property. Let's fight and let's fight. It's time for a revolution. And maybe it is, but then make the case fully.
Well, so, and that's the thing. Like I was going to say, before you can make the case fully, we have to do more tests like this. So, you know, when I learned that a page on Facebook supposedly had been taken down because of a bunch of communists complaining about this, I decided, okay, maybe that's the button that I need to push out there and see what happens, right? And so I go ahead and I put this meme out there and I send it. Now, I don't have this huge audience. I got some troll, you know, activity. Can I actually do what they do on some shows, which is just kind of funny sometimes. Can I read you some of the responses that I got to my meme? Okay. So on Twitter, I got a couple of them. One just writes, Ayn Rand is dead, LOL.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting, right? You like that one? Another one. Doesn't ARI have millions of BB&T money sloshing around to hire a real graphic designer so that your cutout art doesn't look like absolute horseshit?
Two problems there. A, Amy doesn't work for Ayn Rand Institute, and B, BB&T doesn't give the Ayn Rand Institute any money anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're willing to contribute to us to hire a graphic artist, please do so. You can actually contribute on Patreon to Amy, and Amy can do a little campaign to raise money to hire a graphic designer.
I don't get money for myself for doing this. Never mind hiring anybody else. But yeah, go, if you want to contribute, I love it. Yes.
I wonder, somebody says, do the Candace Owens test. Is Candace Owens banned on YouTube? Is Candace Owens banned on Facebook? Does Candace Owens not have a Facebook page? I mean, that would trouble me if Candace Owens, as much as I disagree with her on a lot of things, if she didn't have a Facebook page. But I doubt she's being banned from Facebook.
I mean, this is what we want to know is actually go out there and do some tests, right? But, yeah. You know, so I go out there, I publish this. Oh, let me finish just because I think you might find it. So yeah. you can start to understand how people get trolled into having very heated discussions.
On this page, 511,000 likes. She hasn't been banned. How come? She's a black conservative. She should be first online. They should have taken her out already. How come she's still there? Right. There's a difference between Candace Owens and Alex Jones.
A big difference, I would say. Yeah. So continuing with that tweet about my cutout art looking like absolute horseshit. He says, not living up to the romantic manifesto now, are we? So that was another one where I was getting baited. So then there was someone else who came in and was basically saying, oh, well, capitalism is also indistinguishable from these capitalism. So then I say, how so? And I just politely start questioning him. And he says, oh, in capitalism, everything is rigged. And I ask, well, what do you mean by rigged? And he says, hold on, you went to the UCLA School of Law and this is news to you, even the word rig? So if you ask polite questions, these people will just start in with the insults. This is what happens out there. You know, then I've talked to him as I continue in the discussion. I said, you know, my line of questioning showed that you and I have disagreements about what capitalism actually means. And, you know, you're insulting me. So good day. So he comes back and I've said good day. You know, I've revealed where the, things are. He's insulting me. I say, okay, good day. Comes back. I truly understand capitalism in its truest form. I can't help if you've been fed a doctored version in your education system. I don't respond. Then he comes back again. You're talking through your hat. Go fuck yourself, you ignorant cunt. And well, that would
words like that. We're going to get banned from Twitter.
Are we?
I don't know.
But I don't know. No, but this is what people are telling me. This is the kind of stuff that when you go out there and you actually, because again, if this is a line that maybe we need to start having a discussion to provoke some sort of discussion between communities, right? You know, because if you just go out there and you talk to only your own social media bubble and you never get anybody else.
But even my own social media bubble treats me the same way. So why is that any different, right?
Well, I
mean, look at our YouTube comments and even some on Facebook. So somebody's mentioning Candace Owens was banned. She was banned on Twitter and then she was returned to Twitter. So Yeah. I mean, people are going to be banned because they do have standards. You like the standards, you don't like the standards, complain. And because the left is 1,000 times more active, which is
reporting.
At reporting. If you want to do it, A, complain when somebody you like is banned, and B, complain about people you want banned. So let's have a, if you want to use your time in that way, go ahead and do it. But she was banned and she was returned. So why are we complaining? Twitter has a right on their platform to ban whoever they want and return whoever they want. And the market spoke. She has such a huge following, Candace Owen does, whatever you think of her. She's not a conspiracy theory, not although she might hold some conspiracy theories, unfortunately. You know, so she's back on.
I mean, for me, the whole thing is to watch. And when I'm becoming aware of something where I think, okay, there might be an issue here, test it, prod it a little bit and see what is actually going on. And these little temporary takedowns of pages, as I said, it's because a whole bunch of people report and then you have to get a human being's eyes on it and see what actually happens. But for me, Alex Jones being taken down is not the end of freedom of expression, even on Facebook within the confines of private property, et cetera.
Yeah. And then make a decision. If it's gone beyond the pale, I want to see you guys dropping Facebook. Come on. I mean,
if this had been taken down, I might've left, you know, my meme, because my meme is very mild and bland. Besides being badly Photoshopped, it's pretty mild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh wait, I wanted to say something and I forgot what it was.
That you want to see them leaving?
Yeah, I don't know. Have you followed the Sarah Jeong stuff? This Chinese.
So she's the one who was hired to the editorial board of the New York Times and has.
Yeah, then there's this. I saw a post, an interesting post by this, Chinese girl who Vox is mistreated, and then supposedly Jeong is mistreated, and. I need to dig deeper into it because it looks kind of interesting, but it seems like, because it relates to the Gawker thing, you know, you can go, you know, Gawker, they put out this video in spite of him saying don't, and but he had the muscle behind him in Peter Thiel to go after them, basically destroy them. Vox did, it sounds like, did something similar to this Chinese woman who is a YouTube phenomena. But she doesn't have the resources to go after them. They violated an agreement she had with them. She has no recourse though in China. And it's an interesting story. And Jeong, this New York Times, she has, she is supporting Vox. It was, I'm not sure it was Vox. Whoever it was, maybe it was Spiked, but whoever it was, I don't know. She's supporting the journalists who did supposedly this thing, supporting them against this Chinese YouTube personality. It sounds like a really, really sad story and a real example of.
I just saw a number of her old tweets, you know, when the controversy around her hiring happened, and they looked pretty horrible. And whatever she wanted to say about, oh, I was just doing, you know, sort of giving back the sort of things that I've seen out there, you know, making it was, they were pretty bad. And I don't know that I would want to hire her myself.
Yes. No, I don't. It sounds like other people have not been hired for very similar things. And the New York Times is insisting to, you know, on hiring her in spite of that. I mean, there've been a number of people just in the last few months who have not been hired because of old tweets that they have published.
You know,
quickly see if I missed any super chat questions. If you have any super chat questions, now's the time to ask, because we're going to wrap this up in, you know, very soon. Yeah, Amy, you had something else?
I was just going to say, I'm going to be interested to follow the defamation case in Texas. As I understand, the parties have just been throwing all sorts of documents at the judge. And the judge at a certain point said, okay, can everybody please agree that we're done with the competing documents? And then I'm going to go ahead and rule on the motion to dismiss. But, you know, there's some interesting questions in there having to do with, does somebody become a public figure when they suffer a tragedy like Sandy Hook?
That seems and, nuts to me. That seems.
Yeah. I mean, imagine, you know, you're
a public figure, something you choose to do and you know the consequences. Something awful happens to you. That is.
No, but then it was like, well, they this awful thing happened to them, but then they chose to speak out against guns of the type that were used in the shooting. And so then they decided to take it upon themselves to. So it's the idea that if some horrible thing happens to you, you have to say absolutely nothing about it. Otherwise, you become a public figure. And then people like Alex Jones can defame you forever. Alex Jones. Well, again, followers have harassed these people and made them feel for the rest.
Real defamation here. I said, it's a complex legal issue, but yeah, I mean, if there's defamation, then they should suffer the legal consequences of, and it could actually, those can be pretty harsh. I mean, defamation is a pretty serious thing. Financially, it could really hurt Alex Jones.
It really could. It really could. So we'll watch it.
So, I mean, I don't, somebody's asking at what point do we disagree with banning different voices on social media platforms? At some point, but our disagreement should never be construed as a sanction of using government force to stop it. So, this is the point I'm gonna make.
Good.
The worst thing about this is that it is more fuel to the right to demand the regulation of social platforms. Mm-hmm. And so I think Facebook has to be very, very careful. Because the left already believes social platforms should be regulated. The right, many people in the right want to regulate Facebook and Twitter. And I've done whole shows about the right's willingness to regulate tech companies. And things like this are just fueling that. So one of the real challenges is, I think the much more important battle here is the... to keep them independent and to stop the feds from regulating them and from taking them over. So to me, fighting for the right of Facebook to fire whoever they want, fighting for the right of Twitter. And again, you might choose not to use them. I might choose not to use them at some point. But fighting for the right to have a platform considered private property. That to me is this, and that goes back to what Action Jackson was asking. When we stop defending the right of companies to do what they will with their property, then we have lost any moral authority in this world. That is what we have to fight for. And even though they're not fully private because the government regulates them and controls them so much, we have to fight for them to become more private. That is to become more free. And you don't do that by increasing regulations on them. You don't say, and this is what I hear people on the right do all the time. Oh, they're regulated. So we need to regulate them more. So now that they're already regulated behaving in these particular ways, then let's regulate. No, well, we should fight off. If we think Facebook is getting favors from the government, let's fight to stop the favors from the government. If we think Apple gets a tax break, a special tax break, just Apple gets, which I don't think it does, but let's say it did, then we should fight for special treatment. But much more importantly, we should fight to get off of all the regulations. I mean, remember when government had a bureaucrat at Apple signing all the contracts for iTunes and for book publishing on behalf of Apple? That's what should infuriate you. Not that Apple decided for its own business reasons to kick Alex Jones off of their platform. It's their business reasons. It's none of your business. Why would you care?
I mean, here's the thing.
Particularly when it comes to Alex Jones, unless Alex Jones is of value to you. And if he is, check your premises.
Yeah. The big thing to remember in connection with the point that you're saying is something that I ended my, I think, last Tucker appearance that I've had with him on. Maybe that's why I'm not back on again. But it's this, that these social media platforms are not only ways to disseminate information and convey your opinion out to the world and try to actually spread the right ideas, right? So it's not just a medium for spreading ideas. They also collect information about you. And the fastest track that I could see to 1984, to having Orwell actually become real, is to have government take over these platforms. So I would say more than any other sector right now, because of the nature of these platforms, it is crucial to try to argue against government regulation and takeover of the platforms. I don't want to live in 1984 myself.
No, and as soon as the government takes over these platforms, free speech will be destroyed. And just if you think that that Donald Trump is going to allow conservatives on. Well, what when the next Obama gets elected and he doesn't allow conservatives on? Once you allow the government to do these things, then it's all over. And it, you know, it's like the test for bring people coming into the country. If you were president, then I trust the test would be good, but you're not always going to be president. And what happens when somebody else is president and the test is lousy and we're banned from being part of the country? So, I think what's more interesting, and I've done a show on this, so you can find it on Blog Talk Radio. Why are we so susceptible to these absurd, ridiculous conspiracy theories? Why is somebody like Alex Jones, who is hysterical and crazy, and every time I watch him, I go, yuck, this is so non-objective.
His voice, ew, sorry.
It's arbitrary and nutty. And listen to that show that Ankar and Ben Baer did on the New Ideal and the Ayn Rand Institute's blog that they did on conspiracy theories. Why are we so susceptible to conspiracy theories? That to me is much more interesting than what's going on Facebook. All right, I think we're done.
Thank you. You're on.
Nope. Always fun. And didn't get as many super chat questions today.
It's a different day, right? People, we've thrown them off with the schedule change and everything.
It's a different audience. We had a lot of people listening, but I think a lot of people who are sympathetic to Alex Jones were listening, which is interesting. All right.
Next Saturday.
Somebody said very few people really believe Alex Jones. Well, not based on the comments I've seen. And why are people watching him if they don't believe him? Well, what's the point of watching him if they don't believe him? So it's a cultural phenomenon, just like, I don't know, rap music.
Jerry Springer show or something. I don't know.
Cultural phenomena. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of really negative cultural phenomena. As I consider Alex Jones one of those very negative, cultural phenomena. And what makes Alex Jones more important culturally is the fact that, like, the president of the United States goes on his show. President of the United States has not been on Jerry Springer, but that's what's scary and that's what's interesting. All right. Why watch a flat earth video? Somebody says, I don't know. I don't know why anybody ever watches.
There's The Onion, right? The Onion is out there, but they're funny all the time.
Yeah. So you're,
and everybody
I don't
knows.
Really funny that much because I don't find them that funny most of the time, although sometimes they're hilarious. But why would you watch a flat earth video? I don't know. I don't waste my time. I don't even, and this is maybe revealing of my lack of having fun in life, I don't watch cat videos either, right? Because, yeah, I watch one. They're cute. Cutie cats. That's it. But why do people waste their time watching so many stupid videos online? It's an interesting phenomenon. Facebook advertised itself as a platform for everybody. No, they're not they haven't advertised themselves as a platform for everybody. They've advertised themselves as a platform for anybody willing to
adhere to their community standards.
Their community standards, which they get to decide, and they can change them. They can change them from yesterday to today. It's their platform. If you think that they violated a contract with you, sue them. Contract law in the United States is still fairly okay. So sue them. Sue them under contract law and see how far you get. So if there's really a contract there, go for it.
But I don't think there is. I think that they have standards and they say they can change them from time to time, et cetera. Yes.
And you by clicking those buttons, by saying, yes, I've read your standards and I agree to join, you have agreed to them and you have a contract that's pretty open-ended with Facebook and they can pretty much do with
you. And that's a test too, right? You know, when I'm posting this, I was saying, Facebook may be taking these down. Here I'm testing this thing. Whenever you doubt that maybe Facebook is actually going against your values with its community standards, it's their standards, not yours. Test something that's important to you and see what happens.
So somebody says, people want a distraction, which is a great lead into the interview I'm doing on Thursday with Diane Durante. We're going to talk about art. You want a distraction? Dump the Flat Earth videos. Dump Alex Jones. Go find some beautiful paintings. There's some websites online with some beautiful stuff. Diane Durante has one. She has a thing on Patreon where you get every Sunday, you get something beautiful. Surround yourself with good distractions. Watch Fauda. You know, go watch some good television. Go watch something interesting. Don't waste your time on shallow, insignificant, meaningless, stupid stuff. That's not a good distraction. It's a distraction, but it causes your brain to, it's not good for your mind. And you could do healthy stuff at the same time. It's like eating. It's like, yeah, once in a while, it's okay to eat. I don't know what's really, pure sugar, candy, pure sugar. Once in a while, okay. But you don't gouge on pure sugar. Don't gouge on flat earth videos. I don't consider that sugar. I just consider it's, I'm not interested in stupidity. Right? Yeah. Right. I've done enough. Somebody says, I read the Bible. I got it. I don't need
so
more.
So give them a recommendation of a beautiful piece of music that they should do next time they have.
Tchaikovsky's Trio. You know, Tchaikovsky's Trio is I think it's Opus 50. Wow. I mean, it's just so romantic. It's so beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful pieces I know of. Find it on YouTube. There are plenty of YouTube performances of it. There's a particular good old performance with Arthur Rubinstein and Yasha Heifetz, the greatest violinist of all time, cellist is Pedagogski, I think. Anyway, go find it and enjoy. But listen to any performance. I mean, it's Tchaikovsky. That piece by Tchaikovsky is one of my favorites of all time. Yeah, people are recommending Beethoven symphonies. That's good. I like Mozart too, though I like Tchaikovsky more. And Glenn Gould. Yeah, Glenn Gould is sometimes is good. A little weird, but good. All right. Glenn Gould used to sing along with his playing the piano. So when you get a CD, you can hear him humming along, which I find distracting. Led Zeppelin. I don't put Led Zeppelin in the same category, you guys. Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven, one of the greatest, songs.
Jezebels.
Sorry. The Jezebels. It's just, there's just a cat videos, Michelangelo. Yeah, that's.
I have a great cat gif that I posted out there on Twitter. It's so cute. So it's the shortest. It's not a long distraction, but there's some cute cat stuff out there.
I'm sure there is. I have to admit that and Alex Jones, I just don't watch. All right, you know where to support us through Patreon. If you like what we're doing, then Amy's got a Patreon page. I've got a Patreon page. You can go support us. That'd be great. And what else is happening? Subscribe. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'm putting out a lot of videos, a lot of old videos I'm putting up. So what I want is for my page on YouTube to be a repository of all my talks and all the videos I've done, even if they were posted by other sites. So we're starting to collect all those videos and starting to post them on days off. Although I think this week I might do a show every day because my wife's not here. I'm all alone. This is fun. So I can focus just on this, just on work for the next week before I go to Brazil. Going to Brazil. All right.
So next Saturday we're on, I think still, before you go.
You're on next Saturday, and then we'll have a break while I'm in Brazil. All right, everybody. He likes Pink Floyd. Well, yeah, of course you like Pink Floyd, but Pink Floyd's no Beethoven. I like Pink Floyd too. It's just not Beethoven or Tchaikovsky. All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
See you next
everybody.
Week.